You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.
You're listening to In Demand. I'm Alex. I'm proud to welcome back to the show tonight, Professor Green. Hey, hey, hey.
Oi, oi.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Firstly, I need to apologise. Now, I chatted to you at Glastonbury. I can't even remember what day it was. I think it was the Friday. But then on Saturday afternoon, you were staying in that really nice area where there were those little Wendy houses.
Yeah, the and pod pads.
Completely shamed myself by embarrassingly yelling across the site because I saw you on the Saturday morning, yo, Pro Green. And I felt like an instant tool immediately afterwards.
Nah.
How was the festival experience for you, sir?
Yeah, the festival experience was good. I'm not really into nature that much, so I'm very, very happy that it didn't rain, because the whole mud thing and lack of cleanliness is not really the vibe for me. But yeah, I did well. I think I did all right staying there for 4 days in that blazing heat.
It was hot, wasn't it?
It was absolutely gorgeous, however, man. I couldn't believe it. All the horror stories you hear about Glastonbury, and it was amazing.
I don't know what it was like in those little, where you were staying, but waking up in a tent in like 25 degree heat is not pleasant.
Oh, mate, waking up in them Wendy houses was horrid.
I bet
you
kind of
you went to sleep and you could see your breath. It was that cold, and then you'd wake up and you'd have lost weight just due to the sweat you'd bloody. Now, oh, it was horrible. Ooh.
We were all anticipating that Lily Allen was going to be there and perform with you. Now, she was on site, wasn't she?
She was there on Saturday, but her dog was attacked.
Her dog was attacked?
Yeah, poor Mabel, for the second time.
What the hell was that all about?
I don't know. Poor thing. And Mabel's lovely. I don't know why a dog would want to harm her. She's such a little passive thing.
Is that why she scarpered then?
Yeah, she scarpered on the Saturday night. Her dog had been rushed to the vets, poor thing. I actually went round her house the other day and Mabel was all shaved where she had to have an operation. And
oh,
poor thing.
Who did you get to see? Did you get to see any new artists that you can kind of like get really buzzed about for us that we can look forward to maybe playing their music in the future?
I didn't catch anything new. I saw that I was wandering around doing a lot of press and stuff, so I missed a lot. But I saw the XX, which was wicked. They're someone that I'd wanted to see for ages. And I really, really loved their album. So seeing that brought to life was wicked.
Yeah, they're awesome, aren't they?
Yeah,
quite dark
album.
At times, but I love a bit of darkness.
Yeah, but that's why I love trip-hop and also singer-songwriters. So it kind of goes hand in hand for me. I really, yeah, really, really like that album. It gets a lot of play on my CD player.
Are you going to be at any of the festivals across the summer, or are we done now? Is that it?
Nah, if anyone wants to see where I am, I could list them off, but we'd be here all day. Yeah, I'm a busy, busy man. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first time I've been on the kind of festival run in my own right, and yeah, it's been really fun so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of them.
In Demand.
I've got a list of rumours here that we need to clear up.
Let's do it.
You've probably heard these quite a lot over the last few hours. Are you dating Pixie Lott?
No.
Have you been out for a drink with Pixie Lott?
I haven't had the chance yet. Yeah, I missed the night at Mahiki because I unfortunately was absolutely knackered after the two nights I'd had prior. So yeah, I missed that opportunity.
So you're still on the market for all the ladies out there?
Yeah, I'm single.
Excellent. All right.
So if you know Jessica Alba, let her know on it.
Yeah, she's in my little black book, of course.
Wicked.
Are you doing a collaboration with the Saturdays?
Yep. I've done a verse for their current single, Missing You, for an alternative version of it, which will be hitting airwaves soon, hopefully.
So that's something you're gonna rework the new song, is that it?
No. They asked me to feature on it.
So all
it's
right,
just it's
cool.
Yeah, it's just an alternative version, just with a verse of mine on it. I'm really happy with it, actually. It sounds really good. And they're doing a cameo in a video that I'm doing for a song on my album called Kids That Love to Dance.
What happened with Amy Winehouse? She joined you on stage to sing recently. Did she sing Lily's part at a gig that you did?
Yeah, my backing singer was singing it. I'd seen Amy to the left of the stage when I was performing. We were at Proud Galleries in Camden. And Just Because the Green started playing, and she just jumped up on stage and was just dancing for a little bit. And then my backing singer gave her a mic and she was singing along, which was wicked.
Amazing.
She looked really well as well.
We need her back in our lives, don't we? She could fill the Lily gap for a bit, couldn't she?
They're very different. They're very different. But I'm not sure anyone could fill Lily's shoes. But she's definitely been missed, man. I can't wait to hear some new stuff from her. I love her music.
I was out DJing in a club last night, played both the songs, played the played Just Be Good to Green and your previous single as well. They just go down a massive storm at the moment, especially with the students. Students are blooming loving it. So you've used the INXS stuff and the Beats International stuff. Is there going to be more samples in the future, or the next single, is that going to be just you
Oh no, the rest of the album is completely unsampled. There are no more samples in any way, shape or form on the rest of the album. I was pretty I was conscious about making that decision because most rap records are up to their eyeballs in samples, and that wasn't something I wanted to do. You know, if you don't make any original music, then what are people gonna have to sample in 20 years' time?
Thanks very much for chatting to us.
No problem, man.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and I promise if I ever see you at a festival again, I won't be a
All is good, man.
Take it easy, Professor Take Green. Care, thanks bro. Very much, mate. This is your In Demand. You're listening to In Demand. I'm Alex, and I'm proud to welcome the lovely Eliza Doolittle to the show. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, really good.
Now, I love your backstory, Eliza, because it sounds like the start of a film. Really? Or almost like you could almost be a TV detective, I think. Raised in a musical family, born to a piano-playing dad and a singing mum. It's a bit like the A-Team or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, no, they'll hate to hear that.
So, inevitably, this was going to happen for you, I think, wasn't it?
Maybe. I think just being around music a lot, I felt like it was a natural thing to me. For me to go into, but I feel like even if I wasn't raised in music, I would have probably gone into it anyway.
And you said that you were writing songs from quite an early age.
Yeah, I was about 12 when I wrote my first song.
What were you writing about when you were 12?
Well, I was just copying Destiny's Child when I was 12.
Are they some of your favourites?
Yeah, when I was little, and I still do really, actually. I listen to that Writings on the Wall album all the time. Yeah, I just basically was writing about boys that I hadn't met yet.
Okay, so you're taking leads from Destiny's Child because they were singing about boys?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, cool. Who was your favourite?
Well, it's got to be Beyoncé.
Yeah. Was that back in the day when there were four of them?
Yeah.
That was a weird time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Latoya and...
Was that...
Not Latoya, Letitia and... I can't remember now. That's really bad. I feel bad.
Was it Michelle, Kelly and Beyoncé? Were they the other three?
Those were the three afterwards, yeah.
So how did all this come about then from being 12 years old to where we are now that you've got a record deal and we're playing your songs on the radio?
Well, I got a publishing deal when I was 16. Okay. I was writing a lot before then and already started gigging when I was about 15. And... Oh, my chair's going away from you.
Is it slipping? That's a celebrity stool you're on there. They're a bit temperamental, like the celebrities that sit on them.
Basically, yeah, after that, I just kept going, kept gigging, kept writing and met more people and got a record deal eventually. And here I am.
And has it been scary or is it kind of you just taking it in its stride, really?
Definitely just taking it in its stride. You can't be scared of anything because... And you'll freak out and that's just not good.
Let's talk about Skinny Jeans a little bit, which properly caught everyone's attention. Because it's one of those songs, it's a bit like, did you hear Starstruck with Katy Perry last year? 303 featuring Katy Perry. There's a great bit in it with the whistle.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Same kind of effect on your song. Slightly less auto-tune and vocoder going on yours, I think. But that's what it is. You hear it on the radio and you instantly just love it. And it's just a happy, breezy song, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you like it.
And the video quality. And I love the fact there's some shameless shots of Nike high tops in there.
I love Nike high tops.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I'm not going to hide behind, be a person that doesn't like brands. I love Nike and I'm just, putting it out there.
Have they sent you free stuff yet? I think you deserve it.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I like to hear. If you're giving them the exposure, you need to get the reward. Now, you live in Primrose Hill nowadays, don't you?
Yeah,
it's for people who don't know, it's quite a posh part of London.
Oh, yeah, it's really nice. I love it there.
Are there any celebrities nearby?
Oh, I don't know.
Any next door neighbours?
I'm really unobservant. People say that there are, but I'm just walk around with my head down. I need to learn not to do that because then maybe I might spot some.
Are you the kind of person who'll live in a place and draw inspiration from that place for your music?
Yeah, I mean, I draw inspiration from anything I see or hear or if something my friend's going through or anyone really. And I'll just kind of go, I want to write about that, and I will.
Good.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever written about, apart from boys when you were 12? Anything
There's
completely
a song on
strange?
The album that is quite interesting. I won't give it away, actually, but... Look out for Mr. Medicine.
Okay.
Yeah, it rhymes with something that else that it's about. Really.
Something rude?
No, not rude at all. I just quite like it. I've never heard anyone write about it, so yeah.
All right, looking forward to that. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Eliza, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is your In Demand.
This is In Demand. I'm Alex, and tonight, welcome in the mastermind behind I Am Arrows to the show, Hello, Andy Burrows.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really well. Thanks for coming to see us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Gan in a brand new guise, really.
Yes.
Let's get the awkward stuff out of the way first, if it is in fact awkward. No. What's the beef with Razor like? What's going on?
Well, I've left.
Okay, yeah, that's officially donezo.
Yeah, no, I left last February or March, I think. So it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
Been a year and a bit.
Are they still carrying on? It's all very quiet on their front, isn't it?
Right, yeah, I guess it is. I don't. I mean, I'm not like palming this answer off. I don't actually really know what they're doing. I would presume they must be maybe writing some new songs.
You're not in touch with them or anything like that?
No, I'm not. I haven't seen. I saw Björn, the guitarist Björn. I saw him actually at an I Am Arrows rehearsal. They were, I think, Ray's like were upstairs. So I did move once I found out that we were rehearsing on top of each other. I moved the location, but because I thought it might be a hairy situation.
Okay, past is new. I Am Arrows, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah,
it's like the complete opposite of Razorlight, isn't it? It's this bright 70s style. It's pop music.
It is pop music. Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of pop music, and I suppose that being pop music, the non-dirty word.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
in its traditional sense.
And it's popular music, isn't it?
Did you have something in your head? Because I mean, if you've got to relate it to stuff. It's almost Beatles, Beach Boys-esque in a way, isn't it? Did you have that in your head when you went into the studio?
Not really, no. I didn't want to give myself too much of a hard time about like what it should be or who it should sound like. I mean, they're the kind of bands I've always been into. Beatles, Beach Boys, Simon Garfunkel, and a bit of Michael Jackson and that kind of thing. You know, kind of always quite sort of poppy. I suppose I also had my kind of like, I don't know, I'm a huge, huge fan of Damon Goff, Bad Drum Boy, and I guess I love the way that his records sound, and I guess somebody like him gave somebody like me confidence in not needing to necessarily be a sort of gregarious, larger-than-life frontmanish character in terms of, you know, fronting this, because I mean that's something that I've, you know, it's quite a nerve-wracking prospect, sort of fronting something, because I've never been naturally. I never wanted to be at the front.
Was it a scary prospect going into the studio and being in control of this stuff?
Not at all, actually. The studio part, the only scary bit was coming out of something that large.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that was scary. In terms of moving forward, I can honestly say that I've only ever been excited.
Good.
And I think going into the studio with the guy that produced it, Elliot James, was an unbelievably exciting experience. And, you know, it was just amazing being in every day, bringing a song in that I may have written the night before or something, and then having the freedom to just get started on it. Didn't need to teach a band or discuss with anybody else or talk to the label or anything. It's just like, you know, we had total free rein, and we were in there for, we did a month, and then I went over to New York to do the drums on the We Are Scientists record. So we took a little break in the middle, which was really helpful because it meant that we could kind of step back a little bit and go, what kind of record are we making? And came back before Christmas and finished it off. And it was so much fun.
We Are Scientists were here about a month ago. They did this session for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is that where you are now?
Is that right where I am? Wow.
They're funny, aren't they?
They're awesome. They're great.
So funny.
They were sort of there for me, really, in terms of friends. And I spent the whole last summer living in New York and playing with them. And it was really like being at school again. It's like being kids and having like practicing in the garage, because they just practiced in their garage in Brooklyn. And I was getting up every day and going and playing drums. And I was like, this is amazing fun.
You've already supported Muse.
We did one show with Muse in last month in Paris at Stade de France.
And you've got one coming up
at Wembley Stadium.
I suppose it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, Razorlight could do Wembley Stadium. Now you're doing it, but in a really different way as a support act. Does that seem strange at all? Because,
not
I mean, you're
all.
Not going into sort of, obviously you've done smaller venues as well with I Am Arrows, but then you're going to be on the Wembley stage again.
Yeah, but the really cool thing about this I Am Arrows thing is that nothing. I thought everything would feel weird. Like a few months ago, looking at the kind of prospect of doing promo and gigs, I honestly thought, because on paper it isn't me. Like, firstly, fronting something, and secondly, getting up on like both stages, both large and small, and sort of, yeah. I guess I don't like putting it like this, but fronting something. That wasn't something that sat very well with me. But nothing about it has been in the slight. I haven't been nervous about anything, which is so weird for me because I'm quite a neurotic person. And nothing. I've just been so up for it all.
This is your In Demand.
This is In Demand. I'm Alex, and tonight welcoming Gary Lightbody to the show. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you very much. I don't know whether to call you obviously Gary, that's your name, or tired pony in this case.
Indeed, indeed. I'm not an actual tired pony. I'm in a band called Tired Pony.
Brand new musical venture away from Snow Patrol. This is all exciting and new. Tell us how the project first came to fruition.
Well, I just had an idea. I wanted to make a record. Basically, first of all, Snow Patrol were having a break for the first 6 months of this year and to reconnect with their wives and girlfriends and things and have some family time. And I don't have a wife or a girlfriend, so all I wanted to do was make more music. So I started another band. It seemed logical to me at the time. And it turned out to be thus. So I got some of the other guys that have been touring with Snow Patrol, Troy Stewart, mm-hmm. Ian Archer, Richard Coburn from Bell and Sebastian, who's been on the road with Snow Patrol for a year, and Jackknife Lee, who produced the last three Snow Patrol albums, got them all on board, and Jackknife suggested Peter Buck and Scott McCoy from REM, and I said, hell yes, yes,
oh,
please.
Yeah.
And Portland was mooted as a place that we should go and record, and I'd been there a few times and loved the place.
Yeah.
Basically we arranged to go in for 8 days, and I didn't think we'd get a whole album done. I thought we'd be lucky to get a few songs recorded, to be honest, because I was so underprepared. But we recorded 16 songs in 8 days, and it was a joy.
That's the most concise answer I've had to a question from an artist ever, Gary. That's amazing.
Well, it surprised me too, to be honest, because sometimes I just open my mouth and just let it go.
Was it a relief to do something separate from Snow Patrol? But I read somewhere that this is something that you'd wanted to do for a long, long time.
I doodled the words Tired Pony about 18 months ago, you know, so it's been in my head for a while, you know, so and I'd written 20-25 songs that I'd earmarked for Tired Pony, but we only used four or five of those. The rest of the songs we wrote when we were in the studio, you know.
Yeah.
The next Tired Pony record, I'm not going to bring any songs. We're just going to do it when we're in there. You know, there's no point in preparation. This is an album. This is a band that, sort of, preparation seems, you know, I don't know. Seems superfluous, really.
You can prepare things too much sometimes, can't you?
Well, you can, and it's important that you put your that you adapt to each thing that you do. I mean, Snow Patrol, we do prepare and we do take our time, you know. But something like this, you know, like Tired Pony. I mean, REM records take a while to make. You know,
they sure do.
You know, Peter doesn't want to be in another band that takes a long time to make records, and he's in 8 or 9 side projects himself. You know,
yeah.
all the other ones, you know, take short times to make records. So it was really his sort of idea that, you know, we just go in and we do it off the cuff, you know. And it was, I thought he was insane, to be honest, but I don't anymore.
It's worked. It's worked a charm. So it's born out of the love of your love for country music, but it's not a country album, is it? You've said it's got a country tinge to it.
Well, yeah, it's got a modern country tinge. It's you know, I call it, you know, Irish Americana. That's what I'm doing. It's sort of trite, but here we are. But the original idea was that it would be country. And I did an interview, a Snow Patrol interview, when they asked what I had coming up on the horizon, and I said Tired Pony, and they said, what's it sound like? And I stupidly, way too early, I said country, and now that's sort of haunted the whole album, that you know, people might be going into, you know, buying the album thinking that they're going to be listening to a country album, or not buying it because they think it's a country album. It's really not. It's dark and mysterious and beautiful at times, and kind of indefinable mostly. But if there is a loose term that I could give it, it is in the Calexico, the National, Band of Horses, Smog, that type of area, you know.
Yeah.
So Americana is I guess semi appropriate.
I'm guessing,
and plus the whole album's about America too. I mean, it's not about me and my love life. The people, some people might be happy to know this time. It's about stories that I've picked up along the way touring in America for the last 6 years. Some stories I just made up and set them in America, some of which in the Dust Bowl of the last depression in the 30s, you know, some of which, you know, in sort of 1950s American, a kind of a, some of which sound like they're, you know, straight out of a, Bonnie and Clyde or Badlands or something like that, you know, two drifters kind of taking on the world nefariously.
It's all very visual, isn't it? The way you've described it there, it's almost as if, I'm guessing you have quite a big interest in this American popular culture side of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's something I grew up fascinated by as a kid, you know. I looked to America for basically all of my early inspiration, you know. I went from loving like Michael Jackson as a kid to moving on to metal, like Metallica and Anthrax and all these bands, and then moved to Nirvana and R.E.M. and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and all these bands. R.E.M. kind of came before that, but I didn't get into R.E.M. until Automatic for the People, and then went backwards, you know, from there to Green and Document and Life Search Pageant and all these brilliant albums. So it's been with me for a long time. This album has been percolating, and I probably didn't even realize, you know. So getting into the studio in Portland, the first album I've ever made in America, you know, it all obviously just flooded out, you know, and I couldn't stop it, you know. The songs were all written, lyrically, were all written, and the amount of time that it took me to write down the words was the time that it took to write the song, you know. It just came out on with the pen. I didn't have to sit and labor and edit and worry and stuff. It was, you know, it was obviously sitting there waiting for me to finally get around to do it.
But Snow Patrol fans, and of course music fans as a whole, are just going to instantly connect with your voice the second you hear it. We know it's you straight away. But it's going to be interesting to see. I've not listened to the album in full yet. I only got it yesterday, but it's going to be interesting to see how dark it goes, and the comparisons between Snow Patrol and this for you now is going to be good. It's exciting. I'm excited about it.
Well, good. Give it a listen and see what you think.
I will.
That's all I can say.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks, Gary.
Take care, Alex.
Cheers, bye-bye. Mate. Bye.
This is your In Demand.
You're listening to In Demand. I'm Alex, on my own, cause Lucy's on her honeymoon/holiday. So I've lost a beautiful lady, but I found another one to fill her place. Hello, Priya.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
All right. Thank you very much.
Good.
So I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
I don't watch EastEnders.
Oh,
well, I don't watch much
bad.
Telly at all, to tell you the truth.
Do you not have time?
Well, primarily because we're on the air when it's on TV.
There's iPlayer.
And there's
Omnibus.
There's
no excuse.
So tell me about your character first, because people will most recently recognise you from EastEnders.
Well, I played a character called Amira, who was married to Saeed, who was having an affair with Amira's best mate, Christian. And she found out that... She found out the truth about their relationship, and there was high drama.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you again.
Yeah.
I did see one episode over Christmas, which was where you married Saeed.
Oh, on New Year's Day.
Yeah, New Year's Day. So I did see that.
That was a big episode.
It was. It was a great episode.
It was amazing.
Well.
Lots
and
of drama.
He'd just come out to his mum, I think, on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did it all end? Have you now left the show?
Well, she basically found out the truth about their relationship, and she ended up leaving in the back of a Mercedes, pregnant.
Oh, right. Mm. So you've not been killed off?
I've not been killed off.
You may make a return?
Who knows?
I like the fact that there's glamour involved in the way you exited as well. Most people leave Albert Square in a cab, don't they?
I know, I was very fortunate and very lucky and thankful to the producers and the writers for that, because, as you know, that... Sometimes, you know, you could get killed off, or there's not much glamour in EastEnders, though.
So how did we go from EastEnders to recording songs and making music then?
Okay, well, music has always been my passion, and I've been working in the studio and writing I've been writing songs since I was a teenager and been in and out of the studio sort of throughout the time that I've been acting. So when I had time off, I'd just go in the studio and work with producers that... up-and-coming talent that I really admire and was fortunate that they'd sort of made the time for me to kind of come in and just have that that opportunity to be creative. So it's not something that I've just suddenly decided to do. I've always been doing it. And last year I met my management, and at the end of last year I was offered a deal with Universal, and here I am now promoting the first single.
Is it written by Alex James? Is that right?
No, not Alex James from Blur.
Right, okay. Oh no, there's another one, because that's my name one. As well.
Oh, so, it's your name, Alex
are there
James?
Three of us? Yes.
There's three of you.
Oh no.
Wow. No. So it's obviously not written by you.
And not the guy from Blur.
No, it's another one.
It's another one. Yeah. There's another one who wants the glory as well. Okay, so it's very much in keeping with the kind of Jai Ho kind of stuff, isn't it?
The album itself reflects my personality and also my influences. And
yeah.
My influences growing up. You know, I've grown up in London. It's been, I've got a lot of friends from different cultures, and my upbringing has been very multicultural. So I've got those influences in I suppose, in Shimmy and in some of the tracks on my album.
I'm going to give you some of these labels that inevitably come through when yeah. we start talking to new artists. You are apparently the UK's answer to Sean Paul.
Not me.
Well, yeah.
No, Mumsy Stranger.
Oh, sorry. Have I got that wrong?
You got that wrong. I think I would be.
Well, no, in the same vein that you're making music and Sean Paul makes
well,
music.
Well, no, Mumsy Stranger, who features on the track.
Right, okay.
Who does the kind of rap part.
You could be it. I'm going to change it. You're the UK's answer to Sean Paul. Let's make that happen here. Well, how about the female version of Jay Sean?
Now that would works. Be more appropriate. That would work. Yes.
He's done so well for himself.
He's amazing.
He?
I've known Jay since, you know, he first started out, and I'm very proud of what he's achieved.
Yeah. Who do you kind of, when you're travelling around and you've got your iPod in and stuff like that, your iPhone, even though it's broken?
It still works, though.
It still works. It's just the screen that's cracked. Yeah. What are you listening to at the moment? What can you kind of, can you give us any recommendations for new
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah, oh gosh, what I've been listening to? Well, I'm loving the Alicia Keys album, Elements of Freedom.
Everyone loves that, don't they?
She's just amazing.
Did you see that she fell over?
No way.
On stage last weekend. No. She's pregnant. She'd got heels like that on.
Like mine.
She stacked it. Oh. But couldn't get back up, so she performed the rest of the song on her back.
Amazing. See, what a pro. True professional. Yeah. I love it.
Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you again soon, hopefully.
Definitely.
I think you're going to be on like those Sound of 2011 lists.
I hope so.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be amazing.
Puts the pressure on, but...
Yeah, but, you know, it's good to have good exposure sometimes. Exactly.
Best of luck. Cheers, Priya.
Thanks,
thank
Alex.
You.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.
Hello.
Hey, who's that?
It's Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Really, really good. Glad to have you back in our lives, finally.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to be back, finally.
The single is amazing. I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to be what McFly fans are expecting, is it?
No, well, they've heard like a 20-second clip so far, and that's all they've heard. So they've all gone a bit crazy for it. Cause definitely, but you know what? The response has been amazing. Like obviously, it's not going to be what they expect at all. But they've all said how wow, it wasn't what I expected, but they love it. So it's been it's brilliant. That's the real test, really, is finding out what all the fans think. Who we make the music for, really.
The McFly Army on Twitter, Tom, are absolutely terrifying. They've been spamming me for the last week because I heard the song actually secretly just over a week ago.
Right.
And I kind of like went online and said, it's amazing, you're going to love it. And from that moment on, I've been bombarded every single day.
Yeah, they're awesome. They love Twitter.
This is going to be a real taste then. Party Girl is setting the stall out for the album in true form, yeah? This is what it's all about.
Absolutely. Well, we just felt the Party Girl was, we wanted to show people straight away that, it's not what you're going to expect from McFly, and that we've changed, and that we're moving on. We're sort of saying it's the end of the beginning. We're into a new era of our career now.
Awesome. Tell us about the superhero stuff that people have been seeing. You've been posting like emblems of different superhero sort of style stuff on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We've been teasing the fans. we've been building what we're calling a super site. It's not a website. It's way more than any website you would have ever seen before.
Amazing.
And it all takes place within a super city.
Okay.
Which is our own McFly city. And we've basically built this revolutionary community where fans can all communicate with each other, and not just with each other, but with us as well. And that's what's so exciting about it. But that's, you know, that's what we've kind of been building for the last 2 years, because there is no website like this. It's taken so long for us to build it and design it. And it's not just all of the things that fans are going to get from the website. It's the way the website works, and you move around in this kind of 3D world. So it's quite exciting. We've just been showing people it for the first time yesterday and today, and getting people's reaction. And everyone's just been blown away by it and saying, you know, they've never seen not just a band website, but any website like this. So I know, especially like you said, our fans, they love Twitter and Tumblr. They're just like me. They're on it all day, every day, all the time. So we know how active they are online. So they're going to be absolutely crazy when they see what we've been building.
Look at you, going to be best mates with like Steve Jobs or something next, aren't you?
You never know. You never know. This is it. You know, we like I said, you know, we're a very ambitious band. You know, we want to take over the world. We want to be the biggest band in the world, and that's why, you know, we know our fans have been so patient with us, which we're so grateful for, and we know we've taken our time really, you know, to get this right, and so hopefully they can love what we've been working on.
All right, two questions. Have you got a title for the album yet?
Question. We do have a title, but we're sort of we're not telling anyone yet, because we're 100%. We all love it, but we're just kind of living with it for a few more weeks to make sure we all love it. But we do have an album title now, yeah.
And is there a release date for the album?
It will be out before Christmas.
Yeah.
It's going to be out around November.
Superstar. Have an amazing day. We'll see you soon. All right, Tom.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is your In Demand.